What is up, y'all? Welcome into Uncovering Success. My name is Brady Slaybaugh. I want to be one of the first people to wish you a Merry Christmas. For those of you listening during the week of Christmas, I hope you have a great time with family and friends, staying happy and healthy. And I want to encourage you to continue to put yourself and your health first at this time of year. It can be really easy to forget about the progress you've made lately when you go home for a week. Stay true to you. If you need some encouragement, don't be afraid to reach out. So this week, I had the pleasure of getting to interview Leanne Miller. She is the TV cook for Fox out of Cleveland, Columbus, and Cincinnati. She's a ball of sunshine and an expert in building relationships. I have had the chance to get to know her as the mom of one of my best friends, Joey, and have really enjoyed getting to learn and take guidance from her. So without further ado, let's get right into it.
You don't set out to build a wall. You don't say, I'm going to build the biggest, baddest, greatest wall that's ever been built. You don't start there. You say, I'm going to lay this brick as perfectly as a brick can be laid. There will not be one brick on the face of the earth that's going to be laid better than this brick that I'm going to lay in this next 10 minutes. Yeah. And you do that every single day.
And soon you have a wall.
And soon you have a wall.
Welcome into Uncovering Success. Today I have the honor of being with Mrs. Leanne Miller. And I appreciate you opening your home to me today. I've really enjoyed getting to see you on TV and behind the scenes. So that's awesome. And I'm so excited for it today. I think we're going to have a good time.
Well, I feel very privileged to be asked to be on your podcast, and I'm excited. You had me at the title, Uncovering Success. I think it's a great topic, and I think specifically at your age and season of life, it's so important to ask those who have gone before you for tips and tricks and advice and wisdom, really.
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly right, and that's kind of where I'm at, trying to figure that out on this journey. And so for you, I mean, I guess we can just jump right in.
And I'm not saying I'm wise, by the way. I'm not proclaiming wisdom. I just think it's good to be at your age and to be noticing people that went ahead of you or adults that went ahead of you and asking questions.
It's absolutely important. I completely agree. And so for you, when you were my age, just getting out of high school, you went to college in Florida, correct?
How old are you?
23.
Yes, I had went to college in South Florida and then had told myself I would never move back to rural Holmes County, Ohio. I was definitely a sun and surf kind of college student. Mm-hmm. And you know our son, our youngest
Absolutely.
Son.
Absolutely. One of my best friends.
Yes, he's your great friend. And I am very much like his personality. I love action. I love to be around people. And so I just did not think that Amish country would be a fit for me at all.
And two, I mean, while we're on Joey, I guess he was my Airbnb business partner. People have heard me talk about that as well. And you were very influential in helping getting us that going. So I greatly appreciate you for that. That was one of the biggest learning experiences of my life. So that was fun. But when you were at that point in life down in Florida or trying to figure out what was next for you, what kind of was going through your mind? And then how would you give advice to someone like me that's in the same position?
Well, I think it's easy at the 20s, in your 20s, it's easy to put this pressure, this invisible pressure on yourself that you need to know. Like, I need to know where I'm going, what I'm doing, and I need to be striving. And I think if I would go back to myself, if I would be speaking to my 20-something self right now, I would tell myself just to do my best every day, just to really love and be present with the people that are around me, and not to put that pressure on myself. Just to do a career that you find fulfillment in. Even if it's if you're working at a coffee shop as a barista, do it full on and do a great job. And don't tell yourself like that's forever. You know, these are temporary seasons. My life right now is a temporary season. I hope my next season will be grandbabies at some point. So to not look at your 20s as the as kind of like the like this is going to define the rest of my life. I have to figure it out now. Just to release yourself from that shackle, because it really, I think sometimes it can be polarizing and paralyzing when you tell yourself you have to know. You don't. Mm-hmm. Your 20s are your exploration years. You don't have to know. Yeah.
So much life left to live, I guess.
And, yes.
And then when you move back here, did you ever think you would marry an Amish man?
No. No, but you know what's funny is I used to get off the bus in kindergarten. We used to live in Holmes County until I was in the fifth grade, going into the fifth grade. And I used to get off the bus at our Amish neighbors, and I used to always dress up Amish. I loved their home. I loved I loved the environment that they created in their home. So I think it's probably always been part of me to admire and to love that community, the community of Amish people. But no, I did not foresee marrying an Amish man.
Did you think at that time like your life was gonna change in a big way? And then how has it changed since maybe coming into that culture or marrying an Amish man?
Well, I because you know Joey, you know when I say this, I was very like alive. Like I was very like, if you want to go skydiving, I'm going to go skydiving with you. Like I don't need to know all the details, but we're going to go. Okay. And so I knew, of course I knew he was going to change my life, but what I didn't know then that I see now is that God brought Daryl into my life to be kind of a leveling or a stabilizing factor in my life, or I might still just be running around. Like, mm-hmm. you know, he is just steady, and I have a friend who says that he's the kite, or I'm the kite and he's the string.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's so awesome. Yeah.
That's cool, because I feel like a lot of us get really attracted to people that are just the same as us. And that's mm-hmm. who we want in our life and put in our life. But we also need those people that can kind of be the opposite and ground us right. the other way. And sometimes it's hard to sit yourself down and say, yeah, these are the people I need in my life, and are the people in my life right now the people that I want moving forward right. and are helping me get to where I want to go.
Right. Daryl really just injected a, you know, a kind of a home and like establishing roots for me, and just saying, you know, I'm going to do this life in Amish country, and I'm going to do it with basically my personality the way that it is. And, you know, that's been a journey, because living in a rural, very conservative area, you know, sometimes your ideas are a little bit crazy, you know, but I loved raising our boys in Walnut Creek in Holmes County, and I loved the life that we had there.
It's funny to hear the personality that you like know that you have, because I've seen the same thing in Joey.
Yeah.
Like 2 months ago, Joey was talking about it was his 21st birthday was coming up, and we were like, all right, let's go somewhere. So 2 days later, we booked an Airbnb in Nashville and went down there and explored the city. So that's why I enjoy surrounding myself with people the same way that want to go out and explore. Mm-hmm. But I also know that I have to stay yes. in touch with people that can keep me grounded.
Yes.
So as I know that you're very good at building relationships, and whether you do it, you have a very good social media presence, and you do that on social media as well, but also in person. Like, people are attracted to you in the room. People love to hang out with you. What would be your advice for how we can maintain relationships and continue to build on those gradually, but also like in the moment?
Well, I think part of relationship is connecting. So I recently went to Susie's school. I didn't know which is basically an Instagram influencing type of workshop, I'd call it, or event. It's like 4 days. And it was a room full of, there were 20 of us. None of us knew each other ahead of time. And these are all very highly motivated entrepreneurial women who are basically their own brand. Mm-hmm. And so you can walk into a room like that and feel like intimidated. You can feel watched. You can feel insecure. And I think that for me, I've just tried to look at people like people and just to connect in a way that's personal and to ask questions that are personal and to really listen to the answers. Yeah. Sometimes as an Enneagram 7, I can just, I can be like squirrel, you know, and be, and not be real grounded with listening. That's another area that Daryl's really helped me grow in. But I think bringing brightness and light into a room and a positive attitude and a positive energy is important, and to speak life. Absolutely. I think everyone needs life spoken into them. We all have enough insecurities. We don't need people to point those out.
Yes.
We really need people to point out the things that can help us grow and be bright and shine and grow in our field.
Mm-hmm. And you're really good too at building relationships online or staying connected to relationships that are distant, that you might not live in the same city as someone. And so for me, like, I'm the kind of guy that is like in the moment, I really want to build relationships with the people in the room. So do you have any advice for maintaining relationships with people in other cities or towns that you want to keep those connections?
Well, care, you know, first of all, really care. And also, if you know that someone is expecting a grandbaby, follow up and say, hey, what was your grandbaby born? What was her name? How much did she weigh? How is she doing? How's mom? How are you doing being a new grandma? You know, I think that when you are interested in people's lives, I think that there is an immediate connection there when you really care. I think care is a big one.
Absolutely. Because a lot of people don't get that a lot, you know, and when you do, when you really feel like someone is caring because they actually care and not just because they're trying to benefit themselves.
Right.
That goes a long way.
Right.
Because, I mean, me and Joey, we were doing our Bible study last night, and that actually kind of came up because we said when you do things for other people just to get something good out of it in return, you're only doing that for yourself.
Oh, right.
And then the main point was when you put God at the center and him in the middle of that, all of that kind of emulates from him.
Right.
And you can live that more fulfilled life.
Well, and when you do that and have him at the center, he does things that you can't do through that caring and through that giving and through that connecting. I have a story within television because I know we're going to get to that part of this soon. You know, I've been doing TV since 2005, and I started television at WEWS in Cleveland. Channel 5 was the first station that I was on with Fred Griffith. He's like old school. I think he's now passed away, but he at one point held the record for the most live on-air hours of any anchor in the United States. He's Wow. he was amazing. And but I also did segments for a station in Cincinnati, WCPO. And at that time, there was an assistant to the producer. She was an assistant. She came off of her internship and was an assistant. Her name's Robin Tyndale. And she and this is a good lesson for when you are growing and when you are connecting with people, to make connections with the assistant to the producer. You know, treat the assistant to the producer as important as you're treating the anchor or as you're treating the vice president of the station, you know. And I just connected with her. And so each time I would go to Cincinnati, I would make sure I would seek her out after the show and give her a loaf of bread and ask her how she was doing. And now, fast forward, she's now the third person in charge, the third chain of command. It's the general manager, the president of the station, and the VP of programming, and she's the VP. Wow. So all these years later, if you fast forward, she's the one who came to me and maybe 4 years ago and said, hey, we want you at Fox. We want you at Fox 19. Now, I had been doing segments at WCPO, you know, off and on for years, but I made the switch to Fox 19 because we had built a foundation of a relationship back in 2005, 2006, 2007. And she was, by all intents and purposes in TV world, kind of like an entry level nobody. And now she is a leader at the Fox 19 station. So it's important to always recognize people, always connect with people, always treat people with dignity, no matter what position they're in, no matter whether they're the janitor or you know, they're the lead anchor of the evening news, because, you know, first of all, it's just being kind and it's the right thing to do. But also, you never know the impact of your life, you know, 15 years later, how that's gonna walk out.
But also too, for her, as she gets this new job, this awesome job, she knows now what you need to be successful. And then she can help you out with that. Put whatever you need in front of you for you to be successful. And then that also makes her look successful because of those relationships that you've built.
Right. And now when I go to that station, instead of me trying to find her to say hello, she comes down from her office up top and says hello to us. And, you know, I just think it's an important lesson that we have no idea how far reaching our kindness can be and how it can actually then inject back into our life.
Because a lot of times we don't see when we impact someone else, give them one smile throughout the day, how much that can change the whole day and the whole perspective of their day.
Right.
So while we're on TV, how can you kind of walk me through what a TV segment looks like? Because I feel like a lot of people don't even know, or I mean, you flip on the nightly news, you don't really understand what all goes on behind the scenes. And I kind of saw that firsthand this morning, all that goes into it. But can you kind of walk me through what a TV segment looks like?
Yes. So over the years, my sons have both helped prepare for television. And our oldest son said to me a couple years ago when he had helped me prep for a segment, he's like, "Mom, people don't realize that this is work. Like there is work involved here. It's not like you just turn on the camera and you get to just have fun and play. You know, there are things that you have to do leading up to a segment to make that segment successful. And I think that I have been very fortunate with the people that I've worked with, producers that I've worked with, that have been guiding hands for me and have said, okay, the next time that you do a segment like this, don't do this, do this. The next time you would do ground beef on television and make meatballs, don't bring them raw. Like bring the meatballs, you know, halfway done, because nobody really wants to watch raw meat on television. So there's been things that I've learned over the years, but I have really had great mentors and great producers that I've worked with that have kind of guided me, which has been important.
And part of that is you've built relationships with those people that they feel comfortable trying to help you out.
Yes, because I want to be a good student, you know, and, you know, have you ever heard that saying, when the student is ready, the teacher appears? You know, I was ready every step of the way to learn more from anybody who would share and teach me. Mm-hmm. So I think humility plays a part. You need to really admit what you don't know and ask somebody you respect to speak into that and say, you know, help me learn. So the segments I do are predominantly are live, but since COVID, you know, things have changed. We've pivoted. And I was telling you earlier that the first station to pivot to doing my segments at home and literally through my phone, a live feed through my phone was the youngest producer I work with. So I think as older people, we can also learn from the younger generation if we're willing. So that was the station that said, hey, I think we can do this remotely and live wherever you are. Let's try that. And so I've been doing that since, and it's been just as busy as it's ever been, but we have a system and a setup from home that really works.
Because, I mean, you were on live TV today for like 4 minutes.
Yes.
And people don't see that all day yesterday you had to go out and buy the ingredients for that. Yep. And then this morning running around for 2 hours trying to make sure everything's in place and figuring out even what all you want to actually do on TV, what you have to prepare for before, even producing content for your Instagram.
Yes.
We did a time lapse, which was pretty cool.
Yep.
So to see all that kind of stuff and what all goes into it, most people don't see, but because you're putting in that hard work, it all looks really good. And that's why that it seems like it's so easy.
Yeah, that's the goal.
And then how has it changed because of COVID? So what did a TV segment look like before? Like, were you going to Cincinnati, Columbus, Cleveland every day?
Putting a lot of miles on my car. In fact, my husband got in my vehicle the other day and said, wow, you really haven't put very many miles on your car since you stopped going to stations. So how it would look is I have worked with Jenny Bunn as my assistant since 2008. So she really is like my sidekick. So we would roll into a TV station, unload, you know, they'd have the carts and stuff for us to be able to unload our stuff. And then Jenny would take care of the aesthetics. Like, so she would take care of all the TV props and getting the demo table ready. And then I focused on the food. So I would set up the food, get the food ready and get the recipe ready to go, because you have a very limited amount of time. You cannot take people from point A all the way to Z in 4 minutes. Mm-hmm. So you notice this morning I was halfway through. I had my bottom charcuterie board done, and I just had that top board to do on air because I don't have time to do all that. I mean, yeah. It took us what, 40 minutes, 45 minutes to do the bottom board. I couldn't do all that on air. So I have to give people, TV media is visual, you know, podcasts obviously aren't, but there are visual parts of podcasts. Mm-hmm. There's supporting pieces. Like, you're taking video right now. And so there's supporting pieces of a podcast that are visual, but mostly media, Instagram, Facebook, your cable, yeah, are visual. So part of doing television work, especially food, is you want it to be visually pleasing. You want people to go, oh, look at that. Look at those colors, and look at that board, and look how beautiful it is.
I want to do something.
I
want to
do that, right?
Yeah, because, and even too, this morning you had said, like, you did a sweet charcuterie board, candy, chocolate, yeah, all that kind of stuff. A lot of people wouldn't think of that being a charcuterie board.
Yeah.
And then you kind of made your own thing about it. And I asked you, I was like, did you see this somewhere? Where'd you get this idea? Because you made a Christmas tree out of Andy's Mints.
Yeah, okay. The Christmas tree I did not get from anywhere. I did not get that idea from anywhere. But there's a lot of sweet charcuterie boards on Pinterest and Instagram right now. But I had not seen one in the shape of a tree. That one was just out of my brain.
That's so cool. Do you ever just find yourself picking at it while you
are adding all morning to it? In fact, I was thinking about some of your friends who are in nutrition, and I was like, oh, this is not a good choice.
Yeah, it's okay. We won't tell them.
Yeah, okay, there you go.
So tell me a little bit more about how you found out that hospitality and that kind of industry was your passion. And what was it that really made you want to go all in with hospitality?
Well, I think that I'm a people person. So I think hospitality and people, I mean, they just go together. So I would say that, and hospitality does not mean that I love cooking. Like, a lot of people think that when they look at my life, they think, oh, she loves the kitchen, she loves cooking. I enjoy the kitchen, but cooking is not my passion. People are my passion. Mm-hmm. So if I can love people through food and through a meal around the table, then I'm going to do what I need to do that well. And for people to say, oh my goodness, these mashed potatoes with brown butter are amazing. But really what it really means for me is that is how I'm loving that person, and that's how I'm getting time around the table with that person.
And I think that's really important to even stay here for a second, because a lot of people my age hear all the time, what is your passion? Go for that. Do whatever your passion is. Go all in on that. You don't need a 9-to-5 job. But when you look at it, you can have a 9-to-5 job that's maybe in banking or in real estate, whatever it is, that your passion is people. So you're using that job to pursue your passion and fulfill your passion.
Right.
Which is a hard thing for people my age to comprehend.
Right.
What's up, y'all? Real quick here, 15 seconds, and then we'll get back into it. Hopefully a lot of us right now have a lot of downtime. It's Christmas. We're enjoying the time with friends and family. Do me a favor and send this podcast to two people. Two people this week that you think can use it, that have a little downtime right now at home, and maybe just need a boost to their day, to their week. Send this to two people right now. I appreciate you. Let's get back into it.
Right. So you can, I'll use the barista as an example again, because I know a lot of people find themselves doing that in a younger season of life. You can be a barista and be passionate about hospitality and people and do that like nobody's business. And you can also, and I think you might see this in well, I know for sure in Teddy, but I'm seeing it more in Joey now, that he loves getting together with people, but now food and charcuterie mm-hmm. night. I know yeah. you guys do charcuterie night. Those type of things are now part of his life because he's realizing that food, the operation of food, nachos. I know you guys had those awesome nachos yep. last night. The operation of food connects people, and mm-hmm. People love it. It excites people, and they, that environment is just an environment where people feel loved and invited and warm and cozy inside. That's just the truth.
Absolutely. And I mean, the start of that charcuterie night that we do now in Columbus, me and Joey were like, we've got a good group here of friends, but we want to continue to bring more people in and create an environment where you meet someone new, start to get to know them. He's, hey, come to charcuterie night with us.
Right.
Kind of an open right. environment right. to invite people and meet new people right. and connect in different ways.
Right. And it would look different if you just said, hey, come over and just talk. Like yeah. when you say we're having charcuterie night, we're going to have some nice wine and nice cheese. And mm-hmm. we all just get together and over charcuterie. That feels different. That has, mm-hmm. that hits different. That's what the cool kids say. It hits different.
Yeah. Oh yeah, for sure. And two, I mean, Joey, I know the one thing he stole from home when he moved out is a spatula. Yeah.
That's a-
yeah, because those moments of seeing you cook in the kitchen and him doing that with you is a big deal for him. And for most people, it's just a normal spatula. But I know when he moved away, he told his roommate, like, we're not putting this in the dishwasher. We're hand washing this and we're taking good care of
the spatula. In fact, when you asked me for tips in the kitchen, like what are your five things in the mm-hmm. kitchen? Do you want to do those now?
Yeah,
because,
let's do it.
Because it ties into the spatula.
Yes.
Okay. Number one, own a quality spatula.
Ooh.
So, and when I say a cooking spatula, like, okay, you have the silicone, you know, high heat spatulas that you scrape your bowl with. Those are like your mixing spatulas. I'm talking about the spatula that you use in your frying pan to flip your eggs. Don't buy the real fat plastic kind. Mm-hmm. You saw the spatula Joey has.
Yep.
Buy a thin stainless steel bladed spatula. His has a wooden handle, but a thin stainless steel blade spatula. Buy a good cooking spatula and you'll be able to make great over easy eggs. And you know, and don't worry mm-hmm. about, well, it'll scratch the Teflon. There are so many pans out there right now that does not matter.
Yeah.
So buy a good cooking spatula. Number two, always have eggs in the fridge, in the refrigerator, and some quality bread. Mm-hmm. Eggs and bread are a staple. If you have nothing else in your refrigerator but eggs and then really good bread, you can make some sort of meal. I know Joey, when he first moved to Columbus, he was cooking rice and, you know, seasoning rice well, and then putting two over easy eggs on top of the rice. So you
super
eggs
easy
are
easy for a college kid to do too.
Eggs are a staple.
And it's funny because I know Joey eats eggs like there's no tomorrow. There was a few weeks ago after we got done playing volleyball one night that we told him he couldn't eat 12 eggs and 2 pieces of toast. And so he made 12 scrambled eggs, 2 pieces of toast, and ate it all just to prove to us that he could do it.
Well, and here's another thing. Bread. Don't buy cheap bread. Mm-hmm. Like when people say, oh my gosh, your breakfast. And all I really made was eggs and toast and maybe a smashed avocado. And they're like, oh, your breakfast. Well, I use bread that has integrity. Like
Amish bread.
Yeah, or Killer Dave. I think that's the name of the brand. It's a Southern brand. There are some mm-hmm. good grocery store breads that are good and solid and multi-grain and good bread. So buy good bread. Don't buy, I won't say the brand names, but just don't buy cheap bread.
Mm-hmm. Awesome.
Okay, number three, allow your butter to be out on the counter at room temperature. Just a stick of butter at room temperature. You don't have to put your butter in the refrigerator. Now, if you're going to let that stick of butter out on the counter for 2 months, that's different. But yeah. A stick at a time out on the counter. Do not put your tomatoes in the refrigerator. Leave your tomatoes out.
I never would have known that.
Yeah. Tomatoes, bad things happen to them when you put them in the refrigerator. It starts to take the flavor from the tomato. Leave them out. And then this is the last one, number five. Shred your own cheese. Ooh. Don't buy the pre-shredded cheese unless you absolutely have to. To shred your cheese, it doesn't take that much time extra. It's not shredded cheese in a bag is often tossed and an ingredient to keep those pieces of cheese separated, whether it's cornstarch. I know online and in the media not long ago, there was an article about that there was components of wood shavings that some cheese companies would toss their cheese in to keep it from, you know, just getting mushy and stuck together.
Yeah.
So shred your own cheese. Like when you're doing nachos or when you're doing mac and cheese or when you're topping a pizza, shred your own cheese because it's just going to melt nicer.
These are great tips too for a college kid on a budget as well. I mean, I'm loving this too. I'm going to use all this stuff. So you talked a little bit about Susie's School as well.
Yes.
And can we dive into that a little bit more? Because I know a big part of that for you was just putting yourself out there and being open to criticism, but also going for what you were passionate about.
Yes.
So can you kind of talk us through that?
Yes. So I met with my mentor yesterday. I meet with a lady in her 70s who I call my mentor. And I think it's very important to have a mentor who's older than you and who you respect in business and in life, both, because there could be great businessmen that are terrible at their personal life. So I think to find somebody well-rounded that you respect, that you can spend some time with, is important. And I was just saying to her yesterday, and I think this is valuable for this conversation, is that it's important to recognize each season of life you're in. When you're in your 20s, not to pressure yourself to have it all figured out. When you're in your 50s, I'm 52, I think it's important for me to look at my life and say, how can I grow? How can I be better? How can I stretch myself? How can I make myself uncomfortable in certain aspects that I know will help me grow? And one of those ways is to admit that I don't know everything, because I don't, and to put myself in an environment where I feel challenged and I feel like I can look at people younger than me and say, okay, I can learn so much from them. And so Susie's School for me was looking at the season of life I'm in right now at 52 and saying, what's my next thing and how can I grow and be relevant to be relevant to my world. So many people, as they get older, they lose relevancy. So how many older people do you know that are like, Instagram is dumb. Like, and I don't get it. You kids are always on your phone. When the fact of the matter is, people that are older are probably on their phones more than the younger generation. They're just not utilizing the phone the same way.
Yeah, to build relationships, stay connected with people, all that kind of stuff.
Right.
And I feel like, I mean, even 5-10 years down the road for you, you're going to be very thankful that you put yourself in those situations to continue to grow, because when you look back then, you're going to look at how far you've come even since you were 52, which a lot of people can get to that point and just be stagnant.
Or where they are. Right. Or they get to that point in life and their day to day is about where they're going to go eat that evening, or checking the mail, or, you know, of course, 52 is a little young for that. But as you get older, your life can start to become narrow. And I don't want to ever be that person. Mm-hmm. I want to be somebody when I'm 85, I'm still connected and relevant to what's going on in the world around me.
And I really like that it's important to continue to grow and push yourself every day, because I feel like people my age sometimes can kind of be at a point where I'm so young right now, I have so much time to figure it out, that I just want to live in the moment and be happy where I am right now, that when they look back then 5-10 years down the road, they haven't really grown much. They haven't put themselves in tough positions because they wanted to live in the moment and be happy there. So you can kind of see the other side of that as well, of what happens when you don't push yourself.
And then
when someone gets to their 30s and they look back and they're like, what was I doing all my 20s? Why wasn't I growing? Why wasn't I reaching out to these people, asking these questions? Because then, I mean, you can waste 10 years of your life quickly.
Yes. And it's good. It's important, I think, to get in front of people that are doing it better than you are, and saying to them and learning from them and saying, like, how can I be better at this? How can I do better? Like the Susie School group that I was with, there was 20 of us. We all still stay in touch. We all brainstorm. We still Zoom together and we bounce ideas off of each other. And I think that's really important to any season that you're in.
It's so important. And I feel like it sounds a little cliche, but the 5 people that you are the closest to or the people in your circle are really the people that are going to push you the most.
Yeah.
And they're going to get you to where you want to go. And we talked about it with Nick a couple podcasts ago, but he also said the five things that you do every day are also what's going to get you to where you want to go.
Right.
If you're spending all your time not pushing yourself, not learning, not being humble, not reaching out, then you're never going to get to where you want to go.
Right.
So that's also important.
With Susie School, some of the things that she said that resonated with me that I brought home and that I'm still trying to do is you should be creating on an app like that more than you're consuming. Mm-hmm. So that's, I think, the difference in the younger generation with social media versus my age and older is my age and older, we're consuming. We're consuming everything the creators are creating. Mm-hmm. So one of the girls at Susie School, her name was Stacy Smart. She is so smart. She said that she challenges herself every morning to create her content for the day before she consumes anything.
Wow.
So that's huge. I think it's important.
Mm-hmm. So kind of wrap up a little bit here, but can you give us one tip for social media? Like what would be one thing that you could give someone my age right now, Instagram, just one quick tip?
Consistency. Content consistently. Mm-hmm. Put out good quality content that you think to yourself, I'm so glad I follow that person because they told me something today I didn't know, or they encouraged me in some way, or they taught me something. But consistency. If you're consistent for a month and then you disappear for 2 weeks, mm-hmm. everything you've done that month you'll be working 2 weeks more to get it back. Mm-hmm. So consistency, creativity, and just really being quality content. Mm-hmm. I want to create what I would want to watch.
How important do you feel it is to be yourself too?
Oh, that's something that Susie School really, really drove home, mm-hmm. is not to keep reshooting a video, not to make sure everything's perfect in the background and curated, just to be who you are. I think it's so important.
I actually posted that on my Instagram story this morning, my drive here. It just hit me. It was like, if you're yourself, you might turn some people away, but when you're your authentic self, you attract people that enjoy that.
Right.
That are going to push you and going to help you strive for what's better. Right. So it's okay to be your authentic self and not transform to what you think people want to be friends with or they're going to follow.
Right. A good example of that is I do a series called Pillow Talk, mm-hmm. and I usually do it twice a week. And Teddy, our oldest son, said, ha, 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 this is great. LOL, this is funny. And Joey said, if you post that, I am unfollowing you. So it's not going to be for everyone, but Pillow Talk is my most watched thing I do on Instagram, mm-hmm. because it's different. It's me. It's my true authentic self. Mm-hmm. The only thing I do before I do Pillow Talk is brush my teeth. So it's who I am. So I think probably one of the biggest values of Susie School is helping me just be brave enough to be who I am online.
That's incredible.
Okay. Do you want my definition of success?
Yes.
Before we go?
Okay. I ask that question every time. So I know you were ready for it.
I was excited.
but what for you, can you look back and say, I was successful? What is success to you?
Okay. I wrote this down because I feel like it's such an important topic, especially when you're in your 20s and 30s, striving for where you're going.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Success is not making lots of money. Success is using the gifts and talents that I have been given to their fullest potential. Honoring God and the people in my life every day, waking up and doing my best to be light and encouragement to everyone whom I come in contact with, being kind, active, and sharing love to the best of my ability. This is my definition of success.
That's awesome. That's really cool. I'm glad you wrote that down too, because that was, I love it when it's clear and concise and people can just consume it and hear it all for what it is. So that's really cool. I appreciate that. And I appreciate you opening your home to me today. The hospitality I've had since I've been here, I've loved. I even got to help you set up some stuff.
I was like, Brady, help with this camera.
So, yeah, I appreciate that. Thank you for giving us a little insight to Instagram, hospitality, and your life. So I appreciate it, and thank you for uncovering success with me. The energetic and always upbeat Leanne Miller. Be sure to go follow her on Instagram at Leanne Miller. No spaces, no underscores, just at Leanne Miller. I really enjoyed the discussion we had today about building relationships and the hard work that it takes that needs to be put in to building really good, solid relationships. Please go subscribe, like, and share the podcast with friends. We've all got some extra time over the next few weeks, so go shoot some friends this episode. If you're not already, go follow me on Instagram, Twitter. It's at @BradyReese_there. I'm also on LinkedIn, Facebook, all that jazz. I hope you all have a very Merry Christmas. I appreciate you joining me on my journey of uncovering success.